But I'd like to talk to you about current options for control of thrips and nematodes in South Carolina, because you know, a lot of our soils support nematodes, and we're not just managing thrips out there. We're also trying to manage the nematodes. So, you know, in cotton, the important insects are thrips, bollworm, and stink bug, and we're certainly going to focus on thrips here. And to borrow a quote from my colleague, Dr. Roberts in Georgia, you know, thrips are probably the most consistent perennial pest of cotton in the southeast, and certainly tobacco thrips is our predominant species. And you're all familiar with, you know, what happens if you don't have a preventative treatment out. See in the foreground here, untreated plants, and it's actually a seed treatment there in the background. I believe that was Cruiser. This was in Arkansas. So it can be pretty dramatic. In the impact of nematodes, we can visibly see that in the field. They have certainly visible signs on top of the ground where you can see stunted plants, and then they also have an impact on the roots on which they feed. Thrips, borrowed this slide from Dr. Taves and Dr. Robertson, Georgia. Thrips do the same thing. They're stressing the plant. They're reducing. What they did here is they exposed plants to low, moderate, and severe pressure from thrips, and looked at the root weight and the shoot weight, and everything kind of matched up. What was happening above the ground was happening below the ground, so pretty neat. So both groups of pests are doing similar things to the plants. You know, thrips above the ground, nematodes below the ground, same plant, right? And as I mentioned earlier, we often focus on just one of these, largely ignoring the other. So I'm going to try to focus on both during this talk, and going to concentrate a lot of the data slides that I present on some work we did with Vidate last year. All right, so our at-plant chemical options. I should have started the timer. We got some bonus minutes. All right, so what we do for thrips alone is we have Enfero liquid insecticides such as imidacloprid. Dr. Batchelor just showed you. We've got some Enfero granular insecticides like Thimet, and that's what we have for just thrips alone. For nematodes alone at planting, there's really nothing unless you want to count Telone, which has to be put out days or weeks before planting. Thrips and nematodes, Timic if you still have some, in the seed treatments. This is basically what we have at planting. Post-emergence, our chemical options. For thrips alone, we got foliar insecticides such as acephate. For nematodes alone, Vidate, you could say Vidate would be for nematodes alone because it's possibly too late for an impact on thrips, correct? Timic side dress, again, if you have any. But for both groups, Timic side dress, again, got any of that? Too late for thrips. And then the question on Vidate, can we use Vidate to impact both thrips and nematodes? And that's what I'll focus on here. So just quickly go through some of the methods that we use in my program. We have a field trial set up. We go out and we pull plants up. We pull 10 per plot per week. We have 8-row plots, so we got a couple of rows that we can just dedicate to plant harvest, immerse those in alcohol, dislodge the thrips, take the jars back to the laboratory, use a suction pump and filtration flask, suck everything down on filter paper, and then count immatures and adults on the filter paper under microscope. We do injury ratings. I used to use a 0 to 10 scale, and I've been convinced that the 0 to 5 is the way to go, so we do injury ratings. We've been taking plant weights, both fresh and dry, at 42 days after planting. Plant heights as often as we can. For the nematode sampling, we use these conical stainless steel probes, and we take soil samples from each plot and send the soil off, and we get a number of nematodes per 100 cc's of soil. We dig up some plant roots very carefully. Our nematologist does some nematode gall ratings, and then we clip those roots up, put them in a mist chamber, and try to recover the nematodes that come out of the roots. All right, here we are quickly to the data. This is a trial we did in 2011. This is thrips season total per 10 plants. Got some non-labeled compounds in here. We had counter in here. We had an untreated control. We had counter at several rates here and got a good rate response on thrips. Timic is doing what it's supposed to be doing on thrips. Here are the seed treatments alone, a little weaker than Timic. And then we had a 17-ounce shot of Vidate at the 3 to 4 leaf stage, a little too late for thrips, and that kind of shows up in these data. We had more thrips there and had minimal impact on top of the seed treatments. When you look at the nematode side of it, again, let's start over here with the control. This is root knot nematodes 7 weeks after planting. We had a decent amount here per 100 cc's of soil. Counter was giving us some activity. Timic, even at the 3.5-pound rate, was giving us some activity on root knot. The seed treatments were a little weaker, but we got a little bump here on nematode suppression with that 17-ounce shot at the 3 to 4 leaf stage. When we look at the missed chamber recovery of root knots at 7 weeks after planting, let's start over here again on the left. You got the untreated check here. We had a really nice rate response with counter. Timic at both rates was doing a good job on nematodes. A little difference here in the seed treatments, and we see that with thrips as well from year to year, probably environmental. But then we had a nice little impact here with Vidate, particularly on the Evicta-treated seed with that 17-ounce shot at the 3 to 4 leaf. And then the frustrating part comes when you run the picker through the plots and you harvest everything, right, doing this type of work. You can see here's our untreated control over here, Timic at 7 pounds, no surprise there. We didn't detect any differences here due to variability. The seed treatments, as expected, compared to Timic, we didn't see anything on yield with the Vidate here. It showed up doing a good job on nematodes, but then that's the frustration with working with Vidate, is you often don't see a response at the end. All right, some work we did last year. It's another trial, and you can see the treatments on the bottom of the chart here. But this is season total mean number of thrips per 10 plants. Here's our control. Countered a couple of rates, giving us some activity. Timic at 5 pounds, doing what it does. Here are the seed treatments. And then we had a 17-ounce shot on both of the seed treatments and not much of an impact on thrips there. And then we tried Vidate in furrow at 16 ounces and a little suppression there as well. Looking at mean plant weights, and I've got the fresh plant weights, and then we put those in a dryer and dry them for several days and take all the water out, and that's the pink bars here. But just kind of point out a couple of things. Timic producing the largest plants in this particular trial, no big surprise. Here are the seed treatments. We're not getting much of an impact here with Vidate in this trial in terms of plant biomass, either foliar or in furrow. Looking at the yields, again, it's another one where here are the two seed treatments, and then here are the two seed treatments with Vidate, and there was nothing added with the Vidate application. It was interesting to see the counter kind of led in this particular trial. All right, so we did a lot of, we had three other trials this season where we looked at the seed treatment plus Vidate, and we attempted to put a single application of 17 ounces out at cod lead and first leaf, second leaf, third leaf, fourth leaf, and fifth leaf. We had a big rain event in there and had a gap, so you can see we had cod lead and first leaf, second leaf, and then we skip out to sixth leaf and seventh leaf before we get back in this field, had some clay in this field. This is mean season total of thrips per 10 plants. Here's our check. Our application at the cod leading leaf stage, first leaf, second leaf. And you can kind of see a trend here where we got more of an impact on thrips the earlier we went with our Vidate application. And that holds with some of our other foliar insecticide work that we've looked at with different timings. The earlier you go with the insecticide, the more impact you have on thrips. Looking at root knot nematodes per 100 cc's of soil at harvest. Here's our untreated control, and this is a decent number per 100 cc's, so I'm told from the nematologist. Here's the result of our 1 17-ounce shot at the cotyledon leaf stage, the first leaf stage, second, sixth, and seventh, and you can see an impact here. The later we went with the Vidate, the more impact we had on nematodes, so that makes sense as well. So perhaps there's some happy medium here where you get some benefit on thrips and nematodes. All right, then looking at the fresh plant weights at 42 days after planting, here are our plants, and again, this is the fresh plant weights. Here are our plants, the biomass, this is grams, and untreated control at the cotyledon in the first leaf, the second, sixth, and seventh, and it looks here like this 17-ounce shot at the cotyledon stage and the first leaf stage was producing a larger plant. So again, that kind of holds with the thrips numbers. The earlier you go, the more benefit you have with reducing stunting perhaps caused by thrips. All right, we had another trial, excuse me, where we tried to split the applications. We used the same timings for the first application, but we used 8.5 ounces, and then we came back, depending on the rain, we were trying to target 10, 12, 14 days after that first application. This is mean season thrips per 10 plants. Here's our check, just the Aris alone, and then we've got a couple of applications on here. I think I'm missing some asterisks, but take-home point is here, we did not get this shot on the seventh leaf, so that was another control, but we had some suppression of thrips here where we had the split application approach as well. All right, the root galling ratings, and these are, you know, 0 to 5 is a scale, so this is not very high, but the data here do show that the later we put on our Vidate application, the initial application, the more impact we had on nematodes and the ratings. So that kind of holds with what we saw in the single application trial. All right, we had another trial where we looked at variety. Phytogen 367 is reported to have very good tolerance or resistance to nematodes, and we attempted to address that here, but add Vidate to it as well and see if we could get anything else on Vidate. So this is Columbia Lance nematodes per 100 cc's of soil 7 weeks after planting, and you can see the difference here in 367 and 375, marked difference here. Not statistically different, but different. And then the addition of a shot of 17 ounces of Vidate. Not much happening here with 367, but on top of 375, there was a numerical response. Looking at Columbia Lance nematodes per 100 cc's of soil, this is harvest samples. There's a numerical difference again between 367 and 375 here. We add Vidate to 367, not much of an impact, but we got a little more of an impact on Lance nematodes with that Vidate application on the 375. Looking at root knot nematodes per 100 cc's of soil, this is at harvest, and we did have a significant difference here between 367 and 375, a dramatic difference. We added Vidate to 367, didn't see much more of an impact on nematodes, but we saw a pretty good difference on 375 with the addition of Vidate. This was a second leaf application of Vidate, 17 ounces. Looking at plant heights, no significant differences here, but where we put Vidate on both of these varieties, we got a little larger plant on both varieties, so perhaps there was something there. Looking at fresh and dry plant weights at 42 days after planting, just looking at our fresh weights here, 367, 375, a little larger plant here, adding Vidate to both those varieties gave us a little larger than without the Vidate application. Looking at root knot nematodes per gram of dry root, no statistical differences here, a lot of variation, but we had many more root knots per gram of dry root in the 375 than the 367. We add the Vidate, we reduce numbers in both varieties, but there was more of a dramatic reduction with the addition of Vidate. Looking at lesion nematodes per gram of dry root weight, same trend here, 367, add Vidate, not much to it, 375, add Vidate, we got a little suppression. Root galling ratings, I bet you didn't expect to see so much nematode data in an insect talk, right? Pretty much the same trend, 367, add Vidate, a little suppression, 375, add Vidate, we got a little reduction in the root gall ratings as well. Looking at yields, here's 367 by itself, and then with Vidate, a little bump in yield, 375 by itself, with Vidate, a little bump in yield, nothing statistical here, but clear differences between these varieties and some response with Vidate on both thrips and nematodes. So just to summarize, preventatives at planting, varietal tolerance or resistance to nematodes appears to be a real deal with Phytogen 367, and that should be incorporated in areas where that variety fits and there are nematodes. As far as in-furrow or injected, we've got granular options. If you have Timic, it's effective on thrips and nematodes. If you have Thimet, effective only on thrips. We got some liquid options in furrow for thrips only. Seed treatments address both pest groups. And then telone will be something that we would do in furrow or inject for nematodes only before planting. And then there are hopper box treatments as well, what I'm calling turn row seed treatments. So those are all options, but the only ones available for both thrips and nematodes are basically Timic and the seed treatments at this point. All right, so post-planting and emergence, we've got a pretty good handle on our reaction to thrips. We know we need to spray early. We know what sort of compounds we need to be using for the species complex. These Vidate applications over the top, there's still the question, is it consistent enough for us to use for both thrips and nematodes?